court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia. Perspective on legal frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude.
So what's going on?
Oh, not much of anything. Just waiting for winter to let go of us and hopefully have a spring before summer starts.
Yeah, you don't want any more snow?
No, I hate snow. We get it every other day.
Yeah, it's been snowing as much in April as it snowed in I guess the rest of the winter, just about.
Well, I think we had more snow in March than we did in December, January, or February.
It's all out of whack.
It's unbelievable. I was looking at our schedule from last year, and we had been rehearsing the show, you know, that Mary and I do every summer. We'd been rehearsing that since the next to last week of March at the park last year. We haven't been at the park yet this year because the weather's been so bad.
Yeah, it has been a lot colder.
Yeah.
A couple of nice days, but it's been pretty cold.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's tough to just move back and forth for one day here and one day there. It's just not worth it. And usually, on the days when you do have nice weather, rain comes along that evening because there's a cold front behind it where it drops it back down. It's supposed to be 32 again tonight.
Bah, humbug.
No, I hate winter. Won't go away.
I don't mind it so much.
Kill that damn groundhog. It didn't do us any good.
Did he see his shadow?
No, he didn't see a shadow.
Oh, well, that's obviously not true.
It's supposed to be, I think it says it's, if he sees his shadow, then that means spring will arrive in 6 weeks. And if he doesn't see a shadow, then you have another month and a half of winter.
That's 6 weeks too.
Well, then what the hell good is it?
I don't know. A month and a half is 6 weeks, I think.
Instead of Punxsutawney Phil, they ought to call him Pointless Phil.
Well, we are not here today to talk just about the weather. This is not a weather podcast.
It's not a weather or groundhog podcast, huh?
We only talk about muskrats.
Muskrat love. Captain and Tennille.
What?
You don't remember that song by Captain and Tennille, Muskrat Love?
No, I do not.
You don't?
No.
That was before they outlawed animal sex, I guess. I don't know. You have to look that one up there. Captain and Tennille.
I've heard of Captain Tennille. I don't know of any Captain Tennille songs off the top of my head.
You don't?
No.
Well, Muskrat Love was one of them.
I'll take
unless I'm sadly mistaken.
I will take your word for it.
All right.
And their follow-up hit, Gerbil Crush.
That was what Charles did when he was looking for his.
Did he crush a gerbil?
Yeah. His got loose from the cage, and he was running around his bedroom trying to find it, and he kneeled down to look under the bed, and right under the knee.
Oh.
He squashed his gerbil. Might have been a hamster. I don't know. I get them mixed up. It's some kind of furry rodent.
No, they had gerbils, not hamsters.
Gerbils?
Yeah.
It was whatever's driving those souls around. Those fat rat gerbils or something in the Kia Souls or whatever they are.
I followed you. It was just a pop culture reference from about 5 years ago, I think. took me a second to
tie it together with an 8-year-old Charles.
Yeah. What are you talking about? Well, this episode is actually not about gerbils and muskrats either.
We're digressing before we ever get started. By we, I mean me.
It's time to get to business here.
Time to get down to brass tacks, whatever the hell those are.
No, we're down to get to business.
Oh, get to business.
And we're going to talk about
corporate business.
We're going to talk about business associations and different kinds of business entities, such as corporations.
Corpse.
We're going to talk about corpse.
We're going to talk about corpses.
Now, when you think about a business, what do you usually think about there being after the end of the name?
Inc.
Exactly. And what that is, that's a designation which stands for incorporated, which means it is a corporation, which is a form of a business entity or a business association. The way you form a corporation is you file what's called articles of incorporation with the Secretary of State wherever you are. Now, there's actually a law school class called business associations or business entities, and it deals with all these different kinds of entities there are for different businesses. There's also a class in law school called corporations. And it's my understanding that corporations used to be the main kind of class you took that only dealt with corporations, because that was basically the most popular thing. That's what you learned about. But then as time changed, it became known as a class called business entities or business associations. And you talked about all the different kinds of formations you could do for businesses. So, but some schools still have a corporations class that deals only with corporations themselves. So,
I see.
Yes. But as I said, the way you form a corporation is you file what's called articles of incorporation with the Secretary of State in whatever state you are incorporating your business.
That's different than articles of the Confederacy.
Very different.
Okay.
Now, a lot of corporations are located in Delaware. Did you know that?
No.
You didn't know that?
No.
They are.
Why?
Well, I'm going to tell you why.
Tell me why. Well, what did Delaware?
The Delaware Court of Chancery focuses solely on business law, and they use judges instead of juries. So basically, that gives them the ability to have anything that deals with their business dealt with by a judge. Additionally, there's no state corporate income tax for companies that are formed there, and there's no personal income tax for non-residents.
Well, do you have to, does your company have to be in the state where you incorporate?
Generally, the principal place of business should be located in the state where you incorporate, but it does not have to be there. So, for example, if you filed a articles of incorporation in Delaware and you wanted to transact business in West Virginia, you would also file something in West Virginia saying, advising the state that you are a foreign corporation doing business within West Virginia. So,
oh, but you'd still probably have to pay them corporate taxes if you were doing business there, huh?
Yes, probably.
So it wouldn't do me any good to change my registration to Delaware so I don't have to pay corporate taxes, huh?
Well, it might. It just depends. You know, it's there are some advantages to having a state where you don't have to pay taxes, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, I would think so.
And before we go any farther, we're going to talk a lot about taxes in this episode. And there's a lot of info that's going to be going back and forth here. And I just want to stress, do not rely on any of this as tax advice.
Yes, file your income tax and just sign it Mike Meadows.
No, don't do that. This is not it's not a podcast about tax advice. And this, we're just kind of giving a broad overview of these different business associations and corporations and whatnot. Because and you kind of have to talk about tax because they go hand in hand.
And the information we espouse may or may not be correct.
Yeah, and if you
depending
take,
on where you live,
if you take tax advice from a legal comedy podcast by us,
you must be drunk.
Knuckleheads. Then you're going to be in trouble. So just don't do it. This is not tax advice.
That dog just don't hunt.
It does not hunt. Doesn't that dog don't hunt muskrats nor gerbils? So corporations have shares and they have shareholders. And in most instances, the shares will give you voting rights as well, depending on what kind of corporation it is. The amount of shares you have qualifies you for how many votes you can have, and corporate bylaws are what govern the way the business is going to be run.
And having shares has nothing to do with, like, stock exchange or being publicly traded or anything like that. That's a totally separate function.
Yeah, we're basically talking about privately held companies here and corporations. These aren't okay. The ones that are going to be traded on Wall Street and things like that.
So a lot of times when you talk about shares, people's mind automatically go to Wall Street and trading shares and things like that. So
no.
These are privately held. So like the shares are probably amongst either investors or like if it's a family business, split up amongst the family members. Something
exactly.
Like that.
Yeah. Now, the one thing that's kind of interesting about corporations is that if you have three stockholders invest in say $50,000, $40,000, and $10,000 each in the corporation, the $10,000 stockholder is only entitled to receive 10% of the profits. So basically, your profits that you get is directly tied to the amount of money that you invest. So it's kind of, it's very structured that way. That's generally how corporations are very rigid, and they have certain laws and rules that they have to follow.
But that's not necessarily true. I mean, your bylaws could say differently, couldn't they?
Not for a corporation.
Really?
Yeah. For a corporation, it's pretty much exactly the way you invest is what you share in the profits. So it's very, very strict.
The reason I question that is when my dad put together our business when they first started, one of the fellas that they brought in, he never made a cash investment. He did have some equipment that they needed, but mostly he had the expertise that the others didn't have. There was three of them when they first started, and the other two were basically the financial backers, but he had the experience and the equipment to be able to get the business up and running.
Right.
So that was basically his investment, was his experience.
Right, and that may have been given some sort of value as well, so that if they shared equally in it, then his knowledge and his equipment may have been comparable to the financial investment given by the others. So, okay.
So those things can be figured in there too.
Yeah, but it goes hand in hand, basically. Whatever you invest, you get out as profits.
I see.
One thing you got to think about whenever you're doing these different businesses and whatnot, and this is, again, going back to taxes, it's based upon what kind of corporation you have and what kind of entity you have as to what your tax liability is going to be. So there's two different kinds of corporations.
Yes.
There is a C-Corp and an S-Corp.
Yes.
And an S-Corp, do you know what the difference is?
I do not know what the difference. I do know what the designations are. Whenever I say S-Corp, I always think of S-Cargo.
Okay. Well, the difference is not has nothing to do with snails. The difference is that an S-Corp has what's called flow-through taxation. And when I say flow-through taxation, that means that any losses, profits, deductions, it goes straight through to the shareholders. A flow-through entity is a legal business that passes income on to the owners and or investors. Flow-through entities are a common device used to limit taxation by avoiding double taxation. Only the investors and owners are taxed on revenues, not the entity itself.
Oh, okay.
So basically the corporation itself does not pay any taxes. It passes through to the shareholders.
That's almost like a partnership.
Kind of, very, yeah. But it's called an S-Corp. Okay. And that's a special designation that if you elect that, you have to actually file a special designation with the IRS in order to get that S-Corp status, even though you're a corporation. So,
I see.
Yeah, that's called flow-through taxation. And actually, most businesses, I think, are probably taxed that way. That's kind of probably the most common way that these small businesses are, is with this flow-through taxation. So,
I'll have to take your word on that. I'm not sure. Of course, we're a small business, and we're a C-Corp.
Yeah. Well, and that probably fits better for your business, but I'm talking like smaller type corporations or S-Corps. It's just easier accounting that way.
It can't be much smaller than us. There's only 11 of us.
Well, that's true, but, you know, generally, I think when you think of S-Corps, you're thinking of the owner and, you know, maybe one or two employees or, you know, not very big at all. So now there's some other kinds of entities that have flow-through taxation. And one of them is a sole proprietorship, and that basically means that that's an enterprise that is owned and run by just the one person, and there's no real legal distinction between the owner and that business entity. The owner controls everything in it, and they're accountable for all the finances themselves. So they receive basically all the profits, and they have unlimited responsibility for losses and debts. So the bad thing about being a sole proprietorship is you don't have any kind of limit of liability because you're the same one and the same person. Your business is you. You are your business.
So if there's any litigation, then you stand to lose personally as well as the business?
Correct. If you have a corporation or something else, then basically you have that extra step of shielding from any kind of liability like that.
Shielding is good.
That's right.
Wrap it up.
You always want to wrap it up. Sometimes sole proprietors will basically use like a trade name that they might register. So even though that it looks like a business, it's just actually a trade name acting under a sole proprietorship.
So that's like people that want to run their own business out of their basement or something like that.
Yeah, for the most part.
Okay.
They're treated as a sole proprietorship with flow-through taxation.
And can you have employees and be a sole proprietorship? Or is it basically you're the only employee?
I think you're pretty much in a sole proprietorship. You're the only employee as well.
That's what I was thinking.
Unless you pay basically your employees out of your own personal account, because I don't think you'd be able to have a...
Well, you could subcontract probably services or something.
You could. Yeah, you could subcontract out. But I'm just thinking as far as like having a separate bank account and things like that, you wouldn't be able to do it. You would basically just operate out of your own personal account because essentially your federal tax ID number would be your Social Security number in that situation.
Right.
So... now, there's a bunch of other businesses, entities I want to talk about. But before that, we have some motions on the court today.
Well, we have not motion eye, but just motion.
Motion eye?
Yeah, that's plural.
I thought motions.
That's legal talk.
Oh, okay.
That's legal. It's motion eye. We like to make it complicated. That's the Latin, from the Latin derivative, we got business. Today, we would like to request permission to approach the bench to pay for court costs with DollarShaveClub.com.
It's Dollar Shave Club, one of our favorite advertisers.
They've been with us since almost the beginning, and we've been with them.
That's right.
Because we both have experience using their razors, and we love their razors.
I was just with them yesterday.
I was with them this morning.
I had pictures at my my new law firm. We had pictures made, and I wanted to make sure I was looking all fresh and proper for my photo shoot. So I used my Dollar Shave Club, Dr. Carver Shave Butter, and my Dollar Shave Club razor to get all prim and proper.
And I hope you also used the One Wipe Charlie so we didn't have any accidents.
That's true.
In case you were wearing white pants or something, I don't know.
I do not own a white suit.
If we was down south, you'd have your white suit out to be wearing, boy.
Guys, your bathroom called. It's time to give it the cleaning it deserves. Get rid of all the junk that's lying around. Freshen it up with high-quality products from Dollar Shave Club. Members like us, we get everything we need from our morning routine delivered right to our door.
DollarShaveClub.com. They deliver everything you need to look, feel, and smell your best.
As Tommy mentioned, it's more than just razors. They've got everything to cover you from head to toe and places in between. They can cover... The One Wipe Charlies can cover a part of your body.
Your butt.
And keep you clean. And Dollar Shave Club has razors, shave butter, shampoo, body wash, toothpaste. Everything you need to look, smell, and feel your best.
We get an amazing high-quality shave every morning from our Dollar Shave Club Executive Razor. I can honestly say it is the best razor I have ever used.
And like I said before, the Dr. Carver Shave Butter is fantastic. It goes on clear so you can see where you're shaving. Whenever I'm trimming up my beard, it's very important for me to see exactly where I'm shaving because I don't want to mess this beard up.
Well, there's other areas that you could be shaving that may even be more delicate, and you absolutely want to see what you're doing there.
You do. That is true.
And since Dollar Shave Club delivers everything to you, you don't have to set foot in a store, wandering the aisles, hunting for razor, shampoo, body wash, toothpaste, none of it, because they have it all.
So right now, you can clean up your bathroom and your morning routine. Join Dollar Shave Club today, and for just $5 with free shipping, you'll get the 6-blade Executive Razor, plus trial sizes of shave butter, body cleanser, and One Wipe Charlies.
Then keep the blades coming for a few bucks more a month. Get yours at DollarShaveClub.com/court.
That's DollarShaveClub.com/court.
Tell them Mike and Tommy sent you.
So now I said there's some other entities that are out there that you can choose, and you alluded to one of them previously. You said partnerships.
Yes, that's just one where all you do is just shake hands with somebody and your partners, right?
You got to spit in your hand first. Spit shake.
Put her there, pal. Yeah, we're partners, see?
If I learned everything I needed to learn about life from watching cartoons as a kid, the world would be a much more dangerous place.
That's right.
People be spitting their hands before they shake. And
what about the ones where they cut their hands and shake?
Yeah.
You know, one of them Blood Brother packs or whatever it is.
Didn't they do that in Outlaw Jersey Wales?
Yeah, with him and Tin Bears.
That's right.
Dying's easy for men like you and me when everything we've ever loved's been butchered and raped. It's living that's hard.
It's a very quotable movie.
It has a lot of them.
So there's different kinds of partnerships. There's not just one kind. There's, of course, the kind you just mentioned, the spit shake partnership.
Is that really one? I didn't know that was one, but that's good to know.
Yeah. You just spit shake and then file that with the Secretary of State.
Well, that's what you do when you're opening up a shoe shine business and you're going to give spit shines. That's how your partners.
So there's a general partnership, and that is a partnership in which all the partners are jointly and separately liable for all debts of the partnership. So in most states, this is created by just a simple agreement, and you actually don't even have to do a filing. The partners themselves can be either legal entities or individuals. So you could have your own corporation, I could have my own corporation, and we could form a partnership between our corporations.
You probably have to write something up legally, though. You can't just say it.
No, well, if you
spin around three times or something.
Yeah, you would have some sort of partnership agreement written up, but you wouldn't have to necessarily file it. So, but I mean, obviously you would have to file if our corporations were joining up, our corporations would have had to previously do a filing before that.
Right.
So there can be a limited partnership, and you've seen this probably or heard of this before. And that's where a partnership where at least one partner, the general partner, which again may either be an entity or an individual, has unlimited liability for the limited partnership's debts, and one or more partners, the limited partners, have limited liability, which means that they are not responsible for limited partnership's debts.
Easy for you to say.
Beyond the amount that they agreed to invest. Limited partners generally do not participate in the management of the entity or the business.
So they're like silent partners.
Yeah, they're like the money people.
So they're just investors, basically.
They are, and their liability only stems as far, and this is important, as amount of money that they invest.
So they can only lose what they put in.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, that's good to know.
So that's a limited partnership. Then you have a LLP, which is a limited liability partnership. And this is a partnership where a partner's liability for the debts of the partnership is limited, except in the case of liability for acts of professional negligence or malpractice. So in some states, LLPs are only formed for the purposes of some sort of like licensed professional, like attorneys, accountants, architects, doctors, things like that. And oftentimes, it's the only form of limited partnership allowed to form for law firms in particular. So It can be kind of a special kind of limited liability partnership, just carved out for professionals.
All right, now, I've seen ones that are, I think, after accountants, maybe, where it's a PLLC.
Yes.
What does the P mean?
Well, the P, those are basically types of corporations.
And, oh.
Yeah, and actually, I'm going to talk about that here in a minute. And
I figured the LLC meant limited liability corporation, which you just talked about, but I thought with the preceding P, it must mean something else. I don't know.
Yeah, it does stand for something else. And I'll talk about that in a minute. And actually, most law firms in West Virginia, not most, but most law firms, well, some law firms in West Virginia are PLLCs. And in order to have the PLLC designation in West Virginia, it has to be a law firm, and it also has to have a certain amount of malpractice insurance coverage as well. So that's one of the designations there. But all these things, again, differ from state by state. So,
okay.
Are you enthralled?
I am.
Did you never know there were so many different kinds of business entities out there?
No, I knew there was a few, but I didn't know how many there was or what they actually did. About the only difference I knew is that, like, in a partnership, which is what I think that when our business was first created, it was created as a partnership. Well, the first year the business made some money, Dad had to pay a lot of taxes on it because it was a partnership. So at that point, he said, well, hell, we're going to fix this. And he made it a corporation.
Yeah.
Because then the corporation's responsible for their own profits and losses and paying their own taxes, and it didn't go into him personally.
Yeah. So, and that might be why the one guy, if he said he brought his knowledge and equipment, you know, it wasn't a corporation. It was a partner. It was some sort of partnership like that. So.
Right. Yeah. They didn't incorporate till after like the third or fourth year.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, and there's different reasons why you want to do it. Taxes are probably one of the main reasons you want to form these different kinds of entities or associations, because each one has their pros and their cons as far as taxing. And really, you need to speak with your attorney and your CPA to figure out what your taxing strategy is, because it's important to come up with a game plan, because, you know, you might not make money, but if you do, you don't want to pay taxes on it.
Well, yeah, that's it. That's what drives, I would think, 99% of these decisions is because of the taxes. Because, I mean, I don't know anybody that likes to pay taxes and wants to pay as much as possible. Usually, everyone wants to pay as little as possible. That seems to be the most motivating factor.
Yeah, you want to limit your tax liability.
Sure.
It's kind of a no-brainer.
I don't think they should take any of mine. I think that our business should get to keep everything we do, because we're just a nice little business just running along there, minding our own business.
Well, how do you get to your office? You drive on roads, don't you?
Yeah, but they all have potholes, so they're not worth anything. They're crappy roads, so I shouldn't have to pay for crappy roads.
Because you're not paying enough in taxes.
Well, I'm paying. No, they're not spending it right.
Well, now, the most popular kind of business association, I think, in this day and age is what's called an LLC. I'm sure you've seen that before, right?
Yes, I have seen LLC afterwards.
And one of the reasons they're most popular is because they are very flexible. They don't have shareholders, and they still provide you with an ability to avoid kind of taxation and limit your liability, as the name would suggest. So LLC stands, I don't think we said this yet, for Limited Liability Company.
Okay, so it's not a corporation. It's a limited liability company.
It's a company.
Okay.
Now,
so there's partnerships, companies, and corporations.
Yes, and sole proprietorships.
Sole proprietorship, okay.
Now, the LLC does not file articles of incorporation like the corporations do. You file articles of organization.
Hmm.
And corporations have bylaws. LLCs do not have bylaws, but they have operating agreements. But essentially, they're kind of the same thing.
These are all semantics.
They kind of are.
These are technicalities.
And like I said, they don't have shareholders.
I need to check into this LLC thing. Sounds like it might be some advantages. What are the tax implications are the biggest thing there. Like I said, the money, that's where it's at. Show me the money.
Yeah, well, it's taxed basically the same way as a C Corp is for the most part.
Yeah.
So,
but there's got to be differences.
There are. And one of the main differences is that it's not as rigid as we had mentioned before about the... corporations are.
Well, so, you know, sometimes rigidity can be good. Sometimes it can be bad.
So using my previous example again, if we assume that an LLC had three owners, and again, they're called members, and one invests 50,000, what are you laughing at?
Members.
And one invests 50,000, one invests 40,000, and one invests 10,000. So in a corporation, the $10,000 stockholder would only get 10% of the profits.
Right.
But the LLC, the members could decide to divide the profits equally. So they have more discretion as to what they want to do. So that can be kind of split up. Now, again, the LLC does have to file with the Secretary of State their articles of organization. So it's very similar to a corporation, mm-hmm. and it's put on record. So in each state has different things. And the LLC is kind of the new kid on the block as far as these things go. I think probably if they had come into vogue earlier, we wouldn't even have corporations, because the LLC, I think, is just kind of there's more you can do with it.
Well, I'm going to have to check into that and see what the advantages or disadvantages are on that.
Yeah. Talk to your accountant.
Yeah. And then if the other guys that are in on it with you, you don't like what they're doing, you can say, you guys are a couple of members.
The person who runs an LLC, do you know what they're called?
Head member?
Managing member.
The managing member. Well, I'll say everybody will be managing their own member.
So to give you a definition as to what an LLC is, it's a form of business whose owners they enjoy some limited liability. It's not a corporation. There's different abbreviations that are allowed by state. So sometimes you'll see LLC afterwards. In some states, you'll see LTD, which stands for limited. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's an LLC. For example, in West Virginia, LTD means corporation, I believe. So if you see LTD, and it depends on what state you're in, what it means.
I thought it meant lots to do.
Lots to do. An LLC that has two or more members is basically treated similarly to a partnership. And then, whereas an LLC that has one member is treated as a sole proprietorship. So if you are a single member LLC, it can create a bit of a problem. Because what? Member?
If you're a single member sole proprietor, it just sounds like there's probably a lot of masturbation going on. I don't know.
Well, you're going to get a kick out of this. If you're a single member LLC, then for tax purposes, you're treated as a disregarded entity.
This member is being abused.
Yeah. And actually, that's not a good taxing situation. So if you're a single member LLC, that's probably not the best way to do your taxes that way. Now, basically...
You want to be a multi-member LLC.
Now, there could be a corporation that could own an LLC.
Yeah.
So when some people set it up that way, so you could have a corp, these different entities can own each other as well too. So like you could have a corporation that owns a corporation, that owns a corporation that is a member of an LLC. You can put as many layers as you want to try to hide and play the shell game and go back and forth. So,
and one of them needs to be overseas where they can't tax you or whatever, right? Move all your money offshore.
I'm pretty sure that's illegal.
Well, yeah, but all the rich people do it. It's just us small businesses. We can't afford to do those kind of things.
I'll just stay here and stay out of jail and say, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Well, you got all the big ones like the Amazons and Facebooks and all the others that have all these overshore accounts.
Now, you talked about PLLC, mm-hmm. and that stands for Professional Limited Liability Company.
Oh, that's what the P stands for.
Yep. And that's basically for people that are doctors, lawyers, accountants, architects, things like professionals.
People with a money tree.
Yes, people with a money tree.
You don't want anybody plucking your tree.
And as I said, in West Virginia, a PLLC for a law firm means that you have a certain amount of professional malpractice insurance. So you can kind of count on that.
Huh.
And basically, the PLLC, they maintain, aside from having a money tree, they maintain higher ethical standards. And basically, they've committed themselves to other different kinds of things. Essentially like having more malpractice insurance, things like that. So,
well, if you were a really good lawyer, you wouldn't need any malpractice insurance. You'd just be that damn good.
Nah, you always want to wrap it up.
That's what she said.
And now another kind of entity we didn't talk about yet was called a PA, and it's called a professional association. And that's, again, for professionals as well. It's kind of a separate little type of entity.
I thought that was public announcement.
Yeah. I got to get on the PA.
PA and make system?
No. Professional Association.
Oh.
So if you see, like, you know, Michael Meadows Attorney at Law PA, it stands for Professional Association.
Either that or you live in Pennsylvania.
That could be, yeah, for sure. So now you know all about these different kinds of entities. You know everything there is to know about this. You could pass a business association's law school final.
No, I could not.
You could not.
I could not do that.
It's a good class to take in law school because you learn all this stuff and kind of go in depth.
They should have had that in business law. That one semester of business law I had. We should have covered that.
Did you talk about corporations at all?
We might have. I don't know. Maybe corporations and partnerships. I think that was about the extent of it.
Yeah.
Back then, they might not have invented those other stuff because it was still like black and white back then. They didn't have color yet.
Well, and the only thing people were really selling at that point was rocks and stuff, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, there wasn't a whole lot. Is it you want a rock or a stick? That's your choices.
I'll trade you two rocks for this stick. No.
But I really want to ride your dinosaur. Won't you take my two rocks and a stick to ride your dinosaur?
Let me talk to my member and see what he says.
You spend too much time talking to your member and they'll put you away.
So now that we've talked about what these different kinds of businesses are, essentially what the different little things you see after their name, like little abbreviations, I want to talk about the way you actually start a business.
Well, it takes money.
It takes money?
Yeah. You don't have any money, you ain't going to start a business.
That's pretty broad. I'm going to talk about logistics.
That's a pretty broad down. You can't say that in this day and age.
I'm going to talk logistically about how you start a business.
Oh, okay.
So, as we said before, you have to file the appropriate paperwork with the Secretary of State. Now, for, like I said, for a corporation, articles of incorporation.
Okay.
For an LLC, articles of organization. So, you file that with the Secretary of State. And these documents are very, very simple. You'll see them on, like, LegalZoom and things like that, these different websites. And, like, start a business for only $150. I mean, it's really about like 6 or 7 paragraphs that you have to put together. And each paragraph is probably 1 or 2 sentences. And it says basically simple things like, Joe Blow Business is a business hereby in the state of West Virginia. Paragraph 2. You know, and you put like what the purpose of the business is. And you always put for any and all lawful business purposes as what the business is for. You don't pigeonhole yourself and say, we're only here to make widgets. You just say basically, we're going to do anything we want to do that's lawful.
Huh, so, you can't stop us.
Yep. And it's all
you
real
Secretary of State, you.
It's all real basic stuff like that. And then you have to sign it and file it with the Secretary of State and pay your filing fee.
There's always a fee.
Always a fee.
See, I told you, you got to have money.
So once you do that, then you get the certified copies of your whatever it is you filed. Then you go to the IRS website. And there, the Internal Revenue Service.
Uh-huh. Well, and, I knew that.
And there.
IRS.
And when you go to their website, you get an FEIN or a federal tax ID number. Yes. I think FEIN stands for
Federal Employment
Identification Number.
Yeah.
But it's a tax ID number in popular verbiage. And
I know mine by heart.
That's linked to your new business. So essentially, it's kind of like a social security number for your business.
Mm-hmm. They always ask for that. Everything you do, you'll need that number.
Yep. And so basically, you take your new articles organization or articles incorporation and your federal tax ID number, and you walk down to your favorite bank and you give them both of those and sign. You can open up a business account. So at that point, you're starting to cook with oil right there. You got an account. You got a business, you're good to go.
No, you got to get a state business license.
Well, it depends on what kind of business it is you're doing.
Any business in the state of West Virginia, then you got to get one with the city too.
Well, that's true. But those are other things.
They tax you everywhere you turn. You can't bend over without somebody shoving a tax right to you.
So basically, but that's essentially how you start your own business and you open an account and all that. Now, there might be other specific things for your state, like you said, like a state business license. So if you're inside of city limits, you might have a city business license. If you have any kind of professional fees, like for me, I'm a lawyer, so I have to pay.
You're a lawyer?
Bar fees, bar dues. So.
You have to pay your bar tab.
Yeah, got to pay my bar tab.
Now, you know, they really did. It's to start a business is really very complicated. There's lots of filings you have to do and paperwork to file, and it seems like it's endless. And they determined there a couple of years ago that in the city of Huntington that it was too burdensome to go through, do all the things you have to do, that people were constantly either giving up or they were getting themselves in trouble because they'd forget something or another.
Yeah.
Instead of simplifying the process, you know what they did? They created another position so that you can go to this person that works with the city and they will help you jump through all the hoops and get all your filings made correctly.
Yeah, it probably pays for itself.
Well, I don't think it pays for itself. I mean, why not make it simpler? How about that for a change, instead of adding another position and keep the complexity there?
I got, when you have a business, you do kind of get taken advantage of to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Especially small businesses.
And you don't know. I mean, a lot of times a small business, somebody sends you something from a city or a state or whatever and says, you owe this, you have to pay this, you have to file this, you do it.
I got kind of shook down for some money by the fire department down in Florida. They came out to my office, and I had a office that I shared with a couple other attorneys, and the fire marshal basically said, oh, you need to pay a fire inspection fee for each of your suites, not just the main building. And we were like, we've never done that before. Like, no. Each of your suites. I'm like, no, we're not doing it.
They said, well, that will be added to your response time. And if you should you have a fire.
Well, but we already paid it for the whole building. So why are they going to do individual suites? It was just
they're shaking you down.
Exactly. It's kind of like, I always think of it, you know, when the mob, you always say, paying protection money.
Right.
So I always think whenever these cities come at you for these different fees, I'm paying the city protection money.
That's about right.
Because they're not really doing much for you.
No.
Now, one thing that happened, and I saw this in Florida a lot, is there was a company, and every year, well, first of all, every year when you have a business, you have to file what's called an annual report, basically letting the state know that you're still open in business and things like that. Again, more protection money. Mm-hmm. And it's usually a couple hundred dollars a year. And now in Florida, there was this one company that would every year would send out a notice, and they were located in Tallahassee, and they sent it out to make it look like an official government mailing and said, your annual report is due immediately. It's going to be late as of this date. Send us, you know, like $400 or $500 with your annual report, and you'll be in compliance. And really all they were doing was taking your money and then going to file your annual report for you and then sending you a copy of it. I mean, so basically kind of trying to scam you into thinking that they were actually the place where you paid it, even right. though you weren't.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a total fraud. So, but if you didn't know, they'd take advantage of you. So I think small businesses get, you know, a lot of times get taken advantage of in this country.
I get that with the DOT. because we have to have, you know, our any trucks of certain sizes have to be registered with the DOT. Mm-hmm. And I get these people that are saying, here, we'll help you with your filing each year for your DOT, you know, authorized vehicles. Mm-hmm. Why would I pay you? I get something directly from the DOT that I can pay them, fill out the form and pay them. Why do I want to go through you and pay more?
Well, they probably are hoping that you think that they are the DOT.
Yeah.
So, it's a scam. They're trying to prey on somebody who's not quite as swift as you, Tommy.
Well, I'm not that swift. I'm just cheap. I'm just tight.
There you go.
You can come get me. I'm paying it over here. I'm not going to pay it over there.
And get you coming and going.
That's right.
So, yeah, but that's businesses, and that's all you need to know. It's like a semester of business law crammed into one podcast.
Well, I was going to say, I won't say that I feel 100% ready to go, but I understand it more than I did.
Yeah, so when you see a company or a corporation's name and you see some little initials afterwards, you're like, oh, I know what that means.
Well, I am interested in the LLC part.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe talk to your accountant. It might be a better tax strategy for you. Save you some money.
Saving money is good.
But you can, I mean, I know the real reason you want to change to an LLC.
What's that? So I could be a member?
Exactly. As much joy as that phrase brought you during this podcast, I'm pretty sure that's it.
Was it Groucho Marx that said I wouldn't want to be a member of any club that would have me as a member?
That's a lot of members.
Don't cross the streams.
Cross the streams, Ray. Across the streams. Well, I think that's going to bring us to
Legal Briefs.
Legal Briefs is a part of the show where we talk about different legal terms we talked about. In this case, it's probably going to talk about different business terms we talked about.
I would think so. There was a lot of those and a lot of letters.
So I'm going to ask you some questions, Tommy, and see if you can remember what they mean.
Members. That's what they mean.
What is flow-through taxation?
Flow-through taxation means that it flows through the partners of the business, that the company itself has no profits or losses, that it's all the members, the partners or whatever that have cover that.
And what is the most popular form of flow-through taxation type entity? Do you remember?
It is a partnership.
But there's one in particular we talked about. Don't be slow like a snail.
Oh, the S Corp.
Yeah. An S Corp has flow through taxation.
This guy that got a brand new car that was all hopped up and really ran fast, and he had a big S painted on the side of it. And they said, "Why'd you do that?" He said, "So when it runs down the road, people will say, 'Look at that S car go.'"
Yep. Not much to say about that. Don't got a lot to say about that joke, Tommy.
I think it lost something in the translation. It's a French joke. It was a French car.
I get that. Articles of organization go to which entity?
Articles of organization go to an LLC.
That's right. And what do articles of incorporation go with?
A C corp.
Or just a corp. Or just a corporation.
Just a corp. Just a corpse.
Just a corp.
The habeas corpus.
Yeah. So basically, if you want to be a C corp or an S corp, you still have to file articles of incorporation. And actually, the S corp is just a different designation that you would file with the IRS to get that special flow through taxation. So
get that special feeling of the flow through.
That's right. Get that special muskrat feeling.
That's right.
That comes over me.
They even made little muskrat sounds on it. When the muskrats were in love.
Really?
Yeah.
How high were these people when they wrote this song is the question I wanted to know.
It was the 70s or maybe the early 80s, so they were probably pretty high.
There is seriously a song called Muskrat Love where they make muskrat sounds during the song.
Would I make that up?
Yes.
Where would that come? That'd be a sick mind that would make something like that up.
My next question is, how high are you?
I plead the fifth. I don't have to incriminate myself.
More like I plead the eighth. What do you need to open a business bank account?
You need your FEIN.
Your FEIN?
Your FEIN.
Yeah, tax ID number.
yes, your tax ID number, your articles of incorporation, and your business license.
We actually don't think you need a business license, but you do need to have your something from the state saying that you are this
business.
This business, and your tax ID number or FEIN number.
Yes.
So, and you can go and open a bank account. Then the money tree starts growing.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't?
Because I have those things.
You don't have a money tree?
I don't have a money tree. I got a lot of boxes.
Now what is...
They're made from trees.
They have a bunch of papers in them.
Yeah.
I've scanned them. And what is the most popular business entity today, according to me, that may or may not actually be true?
An LLC.
That's right. You remember what LLC stands for?
A limited liability company.
That's right.
Not corporation.
Not corporation.
It's different, and it's managed with members.
That's right. And if it's a single member, you're in trouble tax-wise.
Sole proprietorship.
That's right.
And you're a single member.
A disregarded entity.
And you should not abuse that member.
So yeah, that's some a primer on business and business law. So
well,
you're ready to go.
I'm ready to go out and start another business now.
Are you?
Yeah.
What's your business going to be?
Well, it'll be telling other people how to start a business.
Yeah. That's
now I know all this,
it's a good business. But you probably need to get some other degree or certification in order to do that. I think you have to be an accountant or a lawyer to do that. You could be a general business advisor, I guess.
Yeah, you don't really have to know anything. You just have to know more than the guy coming to you.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like if you're out in the woods camping and a bear attacks. You don't have to outrun the bear. You just have to outrun the slowest guy there.
That's true. That is true. I heard some joke one time and talked about some guy, and he took a gun out into the woods, and he said, well, that gun's not going to kill a bear or whatever. He goes, no, I'm not going to shoot the bear with it. I'm going to shoot you in the leg, and that way I'll be I'll run off.
You know, the thing that's sad about that now, though, is used to be that never bothered me, but now with my knees and the condition they're in, I'm the bear bait.
Yeah?
I'm the one that everybody else is going to outrun.
Have you ever seen a bear in the woods?
No.
Do you know if the Pope's Catholic?
I assume he is. Somehow those two are tied together.
I'm not really certain.
Did you see the bear clapping on TV the other night?
No, I didn't.
They were showing at this soccer match in Russia, and they had this giant trained bear on the sidelines, and he was sitting there clapping, and he had these huge, like, 6-inch claws coming out of his fingers, and he was clapping, and the guy standing next to him motioned him, and the crowd was all clapping and everything, and they gave him a soccer ball, and the bear held the soccer ball, and the referee came over to him to take the soccer ball from him as a honorary throwing out the first ball or whatever, I guess they do, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And he came and took it from him. And I'm thinking, I know that's a trained bear, but I'm not getting anywhere near him, because when he decides to quit clapping and start eating, and you're right there, you're going to be dinner.
He's going
to
eat your face off.
Yeah, I mean, this bear was like 400 pounds or something like that. It was a huge bear, a big brown woolly bear. I'm not going to get anywhere near him. It's unbelievable, but they were Russians.
Sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah, they probably had all been drinking vodka anyway. So,
and from a liability standpoint, I think you're going to be strictly liable for anything that bear does, because you're strictly liable for the acts of a wild animal.
Babushka, don't eat me.
Thanks to everybody for listening, and thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Doctor, Lawyer, Indian Chief.
And thanks to the McElroy Stable of Podcasts for the use of their recording studio. Their podcasts include Mabim Bam, Sawbones, and Still Buffering, as well as many other fine offerings. And please, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you liked us. If you didn't, well, then not so much.
You're not supposed to say that.
You always edit that out, though, right?
Usually.
Good.
This has been Court Appointed. I'm Mike Meadows, your co-host. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurf. And I...